Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
The song is true. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Come for a cleansing in Calvary's tide. For I stand ready to cleanse and forgive, not just to forgive and forget, but to cleanse, saith the Lord. Yea, saith God, I stand ready not only to cause the sin to be remitted, but I stand ready to change the human heart and to quicken those who were dead in trespasses and sins, and to give you life in the Spirit. Life beyond any life known in the flesh alone. A life that satisfies and fulfills, because it is a life that can enjoy my very presence long before your call to heaven. I will be known in your heart, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. That's why we preach repentance. Praise God. Will you join hands? We're going to pray and move quickly into God's Word. I know we all have huge things to do tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this people. We thank you for this morning service that still reverberates in our hearts. Father, we thank you for the fresh and new understanding. Father, not new in the sense of different, but new in the sense of just being a freshly anointed revelation of the great heart of love you have for your people. Father, we want to receive that in its fullness, that we might love you back in kind, that we might reciprocate, that we might respond in kind to this kind of love and love you with deep devotion and do from a willing heart what we just tried to force our flesh into in times past and just became weary and failed and become discouraged. Father, I pray that every heart in this room is encouraged, that the potter may indeed work a work within us, because we come kneeling before him with a willing heart. And Father, we believe that will constitute the softness that you need to work with in our life. And we'll give you the praise as you do this work. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. I'll remind you tonight, because usually you've already given. We don't have a lot of extra people or different people on Sunday night. If you didn't get to give this morning, or you would like to give again this evening, amen. If you had a great windfall and you want to tithe it, praise God. There is an offering tray right over here, and we will pick it up before we leave tonight. I want you to remember that. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many can say that you enjoy hearing how much the Lord loves you? Anybody here enjoy hearing that? I love it too. It makes me want to serve him more than a threat. Hello? I understand clearly that I can give place to the devil. I understand very clearly that if I do that, the enemy is going to cause me great problems and great hurt. I also know that I can be rebellious to the point that God is obligated and obliged to discipline me as his child. But I have a clear understanding, amen, that what he wants from me is not me doing something out of fear of his discipline or doing something out of the dread of the enemy. He wants me to do it because I love him and I respect him. There's forgiveness with the Lord that he may be feared, that he may be reverenced, that we may be literally awestruck by his great heart and capacity to love and forgive. He's a good God. I look at some people in Scripture and I say, how can the Lord, just restore them and send them on when they come to him? I mean, look what all they did even in the Old Testament. And then I look at myself in light of Scripture and I say, Lord, I'm glad you're that kind of God. And I kind of lighten up on David. Can you say amen? I lighten up on Peter. And I give Thomas a break. I don't really make it a habit of calling him Doubting Thomas anymore. Amen. Some of us think we're so strong in faith we can be critical of Thomas. I really don't. Thomas went on. Do you know Thomas went on, according to historians, to was it India that he went and took the gospel to India and stood strong and true to Jesus all the way to the end? He just had a problem with the dead being raised. I mean, he was looking at a man he saw die and was buried. And he had a little problem with that for a few seconds. Can you say amen? Peter had some problems, amen, until he really got his faith centered. So we need to lighten up on all these people that God gave grace to, because we need grace. And I'm glad that they got grace from the Lord. I'm glad David was able to go on and have a life. I'm glad that he hadn't messed up so bad that he couldn't go on and become the sweet psalmist of Israel and be known as a man after God's own heart. Aren't you glad for that kind of restoration? Hey, that's Old Testament stuff. And I read you the blow-by-blow story of David, and it's a lot more graphic than just, you know, looking at a woman and lusting after her. I mean, there's murder involved, and there's lies to cover up that murder, and there's adultery, and there's fornication, and there's just a myriad of sins in David's life that was forgiven when he truly, truly repented. And I emphasize truly, because if it isn't really authentic repentance, it won't bring genuine restoration. So I want to emphasize that it's not a trifling thing to sin like David did against the Lord. It's a serious thing. And there were consequences to his sin in his own personal life. Even though God had forgiven him, it set some things in motion in his own personal life. David's world wasn't a world that was just untouched by tragedy and heartache. He knew tragedy and he knew heartache. I believe sin sets some things in motion, but he understood when his baby died. Amen. A whole nation was watching to see if God was going to just, you know, look over it, because it was David, and the whole nation would have been bent towards sin if there hadn't been an immediate punishment for it. The punishment was the child, but the first child between him and the woman that he had taken for his wife wrongly, that child passed away. And when it did, David, they were afraid the king was going to go into a rage, and David did not. David understood and accepted God's chastisement, and he blessed the name of the Lord. And because he did that, God went ahead and blessed him, and blessed him with a future and a family and a great life. So it's just good to see how grace works when there's genuine hearts of repentance before the Lord. David wasn't a man after God's own heart because he never blew it. He was a man after God's own heart because when he did, he took full responsibility and he genuinely repented before the Lord. Can you say, man, he didn't blame the devil. He didn't blame the woman. He didn't blame the old flesh. He didn't know a lot about flesh and spirit like we do. He took full responsibility and said, against thee have I sinned, O God. Bottom line, I did it. No matter what caused me to do it, I did it. And I knew better. And I am so sorry I did it. Please forgive me. And God did. Amen. Because of his great love, the God of the Bible has a tender heart. That has been the subject of the message on the love of God, faith's strong foundation. I don't believe that you can get faith by just reading Scripture and somehow faith is going to come alive in your heart because you read the New Testament. I don't believe faith comes by just reading promises. In fact, I believe that promises stimulate faith that is already in the heart. I believe faith comes by hearing the Word, because there's a portion of this Word that portrays the person of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Faith is a trust in a person. It is not just a mystical force that comes by reading Holy Writ, the Bible. Some people are clearly under the misconception, faith comes by the Word, so as long as I just read the Word, faith's going to grow. It's understanding the Word about Him that causes faith to grow. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? Well, this Bible is so that we can know about God. This is the authority on Him. Religion can't define Him outside of the Scripture, because no one knows Him like that. Can you say amen? No one knows Him like the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moved on men to write the book. Amen. No one knows the things of a man but the spirit of a man. Can you say amen? So it took the Spirit of God to define God. And that's why we have a Bible that is written as men were moved on by whom? The Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we have a clear, concise revelation. And then to prove that the scriptural truths about Him are true, we have another revelation. We have Jesus, who is the express image of the Father, to know what God is like. Hallelujah. And if God is like Jesus, we got a wonderful God. Can you say amen? We don't have two different individuals. We're not this stern God of the Old Testament and this sweet Jesus of the New Testament. I used to think that way when I first became a Christian. I saw this God of wrath in the Old Testament and this good Christ in the New Testament. I thought, you know, the Father was really stern and the Son is, you know, meek and mild. And I found out that the Son could kick over a money table in the temple and braided a whip. I found out that the God of the Old Testament, the Christ of the New Testament are one and the same, but operating in a different dispensation. Amen. Grace allowed God to do some things that He couldn't do in the Old Covenant. The blood of Jesus opened up the door for God's wonderful, wonderful forgiveness and acceptance. When that veil was torn, it meant that you cannot just be forgiven, but you can be accepted into the very holy presence of God Himself. Accepted along with the Beloved, or in fact in the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Amen. No one could walk behind that veil after. David couldn't walk behind the veil because he'd been forgiven. Amen. Because sin's stain was still there. Amen. Hallelujah. But praise God, something happens to sin stains under the new covenant. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Amen. How many know the blood of Jesus washes away every stain? It takes away all the stigma and allows you an entrance into the very presence of this holy God, having your mind and heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Let us draw near in full assurance that we will what? Be received by Him because of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Let us do what? Draw near. Draw near. God wants fellowship with you. The reason Jesus died is to restore fellowship. Broken fellowship. It was for the purpose of reconciliation. The just died for the unjust. Everybody say reconciliation. That He might what? Take God's hand that's reaching down from heaven and man's hand reaching up. What is it on the Sistine Chapel? You see fallen man reaching out to God and God reaching out, but the hands aren't grasping. Amen. Because a holy God can't accept unholy people, and unholy people can't touch a holy God until Jesus come and took God the Father's hand in our hand and bridged the gap. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And now He accepts us in the Beloved, and He accepts us with the Beloved, and all the Father has is mine, uniquely mine. And He'll take of mine. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will take of mine and show it unto you. Can you say amen? Incredible inheritance in the saints that we have because God has this kind of heart toward us. The reason judgment is going to be so severe is because a great salvation has been neglected and rejected, and a great Savior who shed His blood, that blood has been trodden underfoot. That's why such a severe judgment is coming. Not that God gets joy or pleasure in it, but because there's nothing left but judgment. There's no room, no place for any mercy when you're trodden underfoot. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Can you say amen? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, if it wasn't for the blood, not one of us could ever hope to go to heaven. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and ungodly, having nothing but their own works to present to Him? No one is going to be able to stand the judgment day. Amen? Because an offer has been made to salvation. A call has been given. That's why the judgment's so severe in the book of Revelation. Amen. Because it's all building and building and building, and God Himself will not let man provoke Him to send a premature judgment. When the time comes and the door of the ark is shut, judgment will come upon man, upon the earth. They will not be glad to see Jesus return. They will not be happy when He comes back. The world, the whole world, it said, when He comes visibly, amen, to stand upon Mount Olivet, the whole world will mourn because of Him when He comes. Amen? Because they will face Him as judge, not as Savior and Redeemer and Lover and Lamb. Amen? That's why I believe so strongly in the rapture, because if the whole world is mourning, where's the church? The church is with him rejoicing. Can you say, man, it's an incredible blessing, hallelujah, to be a Christian in the closing moments of time. Hallelujah. Because of God's great love for us, his heart is easily touched. God does not sit aloof in his heaven with little or no concern for his children. He came down to feel our human condition, to experience our troubles and trials, to become our Savior and our friend. That's why he came down, the just suffering for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Amen. To wit, the scripture said, God was in Jesus Christ on the cross, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that the God of glory would go to a cross for? That he wanted reconciliation that much that he would take that kind of love initiative for someone as undeserving as me and undeserving as you. It provokes me to love him. We're to provoke one another to love and good works. God wants to do the same thing through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. He wants to provoke us to love and good works. Amen. Not beat us and threaten us into it, but by loving us. How do I provoke Mike to love? How am I going to do that? Dish his Cadillac? He rented a car. He didn't rent a car. They gave him a rental because his Saturn's in the shop. And they didn't have one of those little cars. You know what they gave the boy? A 2006 Cadillac. It's the sporty one with the CTS Cadillac 2006. Woo! The Lord gave him his good favor. Hallelujah. Amen. Touch me. All right. No, I understand. That's not correct. Thank you, Sean. Hallelujah. Amen. None of it's going to rub off on me just by him touching me. Praise God. You gotta get it yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. But how am I going to provoke to love? Am I going to tell you on no uncertain terms that you better love God? The Bible said love him with all your heart, and bless God, you better start loving him, Dale. You better love him with all your heart, too. If you don't, he's going to nail your hide. Can you say amen? Well, that's going to provoke you to love, isn't it? Amen. No one's going to love that way. Amen. No one's going to love that way. No one's going to love that way. If my wife comes in, you know, and points her finger at me and squints her eyes and looks at me with those mean eyes and says, you better love me. You promised today we got married, and you better love me. You better love me good. Yeah. That don't really make me want to give her a hug. You understand what I'm saying? And it won't make you want to give God one either. How does he provoke us to love? Amen. We love him because he first loved us, and he commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He loved us when there was nothing lovable about us so that we would love him back. He provoked us to love and to good work. Peter, do you love me? Amen. What was he doing while he was provoking him to love? A man that denied him and said, I never knew him, and swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. Jesus is cooking the man fish. He's fished all night and caught nothing because you can't be blessed out there out of the will of God. But when he came in, instead of cursing, he got blessing from the Lord. Instead of the Lord pointing his finger at him and said, how could you deny me after promising never to do that? Instead of that, he's cooking him fish. He's wore out, he's tired, and here's the Lord cooking him fish. And when he goes over to eat the fish that Jesus cooked after the resurrection, I'm so glad Jesus cooks fish in a glorified body. Hallelujah. Amen. That he is so practical in love. Amen. So unmystified that he said, they're hungry, they're tired, they're discouraged and disheartened. I'm going to cook them fish and then I'm going to send them to preach my gospel. Can you say amen? Don't you know when Peter was standing by that fire, he remembered the last time he stood by a fire to warm himself was the night they had taken Jesus away. And standing by that fire to warm himself in the cool of the evening, someone said, you're one of his followers. And he said, no, I'm not. And they said again, yes, you are. Your speech betrayeth you. You're one of those followers of Jesus. And he said, no, I am not, more emphatically. And they said, yes, you are. And he swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. And the cock crowed as dawn broke, and he remembered the words of the Lord, "Before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times." And the Bible said that Peter was sorrowful and bitter, and he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Remember the story he's an apologist now. He really defends the faith. He talks to a lot of college campuses. He's from India. Ravi Zachariah, the story he told of a Chinese Christian who under torture denied his Lord. So because he had denied his Lord, they let him out of the prison house. But he was just like Peter. He was broken. And said he ran through the streets of the city. He said, "I, like Peter, have denied my Lord. I, like Peter, have denied my Lord. I, like Peter, have denied my Lord." And then he began to preach the gospel just like he always did. Amen. They took him back in prison. Whether they killed him or not, I don't know. But he said, "I've denied my Lord." But he turned that. He repented just like Peter did. Can you say amen? What was it that caused Peter's great change to come? Was it the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? No, Peter's change came long before the day of Pentecost. Can you say amen? No, it wasn't just did you know baptism of the Holy Ghost didn't solve every problem in your life? Have you noticed? Did you figure it out, amen, that you are not Superman? You can do supernatural things. You can, but your character has to be shaped. Amen. He stood by that fire, reminded Peter the last time he stood by a fire, he denied Jesus. And here's the same Jesus that he denied, amen, that standing there beside him, he's offering him these fish he cooked for him. And he says these words. And what's he doing to Peter before you even ask him the question? He's loving him unconditionally, isn't he? Does he deserve it? No. Amen. Anybody here ever received mercy from the Lord? Let me tell you something. If you got mercy from God, you didn't deserve it or what mercy you got. Amen. Grace and mercy comes by Jesus Christ. Everybody say grace and mercy. Grace, you get what you do not deserve. That's grace. Mercy. Everybody say mercy. And mercy, you don't get what you do deserve. Amen. Say it with me. In grace, I get what I don't deserve. In mercy, I don't get what I do deserve. How many know that you need both to have victory in Jesus Christ? Can you say amen? Because many times we deserve judgment, but He shows mercy if we come to Him and we're honest with Him and we call upon His name. Aren't you glad for that mercy tonight? You don't get what you deserve, and you do get what you don't deserve. You don't deserve His righteousness, but He grants it as a gift to you when you trust Christ as your Savior. And you don't get the judgment that you do deserve because of His tremendous mercy towards your life. Incredible God. So while He's loving Peter unconditionally, He asked him the question, pointedly, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" He didn't ask him until he loved him first. Amen. So He don't want you to try to respond to that commandment to love or a question of love until you first receive love from Him into your heart where you are. How many believe if a jailbird came in here tonight, just out of prison, had committed a heinous crime, and now is let out and has a terrible past and history, but wanted to know Jesus tonight? How many believe that he would be welcome at the cross? How many believe we ought to tell him that God would welcome him at the cross or her? Amen. You believe that? Amen. Well, see, you got to get to the place that you let that work in you. You're welcome at the cross too. Amen. He wants you to love him deeply and devotedly, but he wants you to receive that love and then begin to respond to it. So he's just loving Peter like that. And then he said, you love me. And Peter's heart is melting because Peter was more vocal. He was more verbal. He was more visible in his denial of Jesus than anyone. They all left him, but Peter did it with an oath. He swore, I never knew him. Amen. And who's he talking to over here? Who's he tending to? Who's he ministering? He's ministering to brokenhearted Peter. He could have broke Peter's spirit then and there. Told him how terrible he was and how he loathed him and how he could never use a man like that, a double-minded man like you. But he loved him. And Peter responded to that love. He knew, I don't deserve this. I don't know why he don't let me have it, but he's not. He's loving me. See, the Bible said even in the communion scriptures about searching our hearts, if we would check ourselves out, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Peter had judged himself, and God said, I don't have anything else to say to him judgmentally. Right now, I want to do a grace work and a mercy work in his life. I want to restore this man. And I want to evoke love in him and provoke him to love me back. How am I going to provoke him to love me? Amen. I'm going to love him unconditionally. Amen. Boy, it makes you feel like a rat when God loves you when there ain't no reason for him to love you. Amen. The only way to not feel like a rat is to repent and love him back. Everybody say, repent and love him back. So if you're in a service and you feel like a rat, that's because you are a rat. Amen. And I'm a rat sometimes. But if God loves me, I want to love him back. And I want to let him work in me and something new. Aren't you glad that he did that for Peter? Lord, he asked him a second time. He said, Lord, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord. He said, then go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. Amen. If you love me, go do the work I've called you to. I haven't changed my mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good of the Lord to tell him, you have disqualified yourself and say, I go a fishing, but I called you to be a fisher of men and I still want you to go fish for men. You're going to be a better fisher of men when you get off your high horse. You're going to be a better fisher of men when you make all these promises about your devotion and say, they may forsake you, but I won't. When you quit trying to be a spiritual big shot, maybe you can be a real minister to other people. Seen someone that told you truth, but they said it in a condescending way? What is a condescending way? I'm up here on the mountain and you're down in the valley and you need what I got. You need to be where I am because I have arrived. I don't want to, even if they're telling me the truth, I don't want them to tell it to me in that attitude. Amen. Every mountain is going to be brought down and every valley is going to be exalted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Take my yoke and learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest for your soul. Peter, do you love me? The third time, he denied him three times. He asked him to commit in love three times. He said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. And Peter took off. And Peter preached, and Peter prayed, and Peter is one of the apostles to the end. Amen. And if love hadn't reached down to take hold of that man, amen, you would have never heard of Simon Peter again. He would have fished until he died with a broken heart. Can you say amen? But he went and fished for men, and aren't you glad he did? And aren't you glad to know it a God that provokes us to love and good works that way? Because he wants it from the willing heart. And if it's not coming from a willing heart, then while you're telling people about this great God and you don't have a right relationship with him, it doesn't come over right. I want people to know that my master is a good master, that my Savior is a wonderful Savior, that he didn't put me in a prison, that I'm serving him out of a freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. I have the freedom to walk away, but I do not want to. Can you say amen? I have freedom to do some things, but I don't want to do them if they're offensive to him or they're going to hurt his great name. Hallelujah. That's when the heart begins to delight, to find its delight in the Lord. And the Bible said, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because the desire of your heart more than anything else is to please the Lord. Amen. And so you'll always pray according to his will, because you'll begin with your prayer with, not my will, but thine be done. Woo! Everybody's trying to get it up right to get their will done. enough love to say, forget my will. What do you want for my life? And actually find joy in it. And pleasure in it. And peace in it. Woo! Oh, there goes your truckload of tapes on how to get it. You said in arrogance, bless God, we named it, we claimed it, and we got it. Honey, you got it because people that want it gave it to you. Because they thought by giving it to you, they're going to get it too. It's almost like the pyramid scheme. People in the top get it all. The poor peons on the bottom are the one that made the one on the top rich. And there's pyramids come to a peak, don't they? There's not room for everybody to get it, just the people on the top. So the blind follow the blind, and everybody thinks, I'm going to have what she has. I'm going to have what he has if I give to them in their ministry. Honey, that thing's going just like this. For anybody to be up there, there's a whole lot of people down here pouring it in. That's sick. I know people that have done it for years. Years. And they will not question. That's blind leading the blind. You ought to question after a while. Says so-and-so got a jet plane. I'm just driving a Ford here. 20 years I've been given to that ministry. They just bought a Lamborghini. But we're determined to be a big shot, to be someone great and powerful instead of meek and Christ-like, and show the world a different kingdom. Amen? Doesn't mean that God don't bless His people. But I seriously doubt that many of you in this room are going to have gold faucets, 14 gold-plated. I seriously doubt you're going to have them. Yeah, we do. It's not real, but it's gold. Now, see, somebody going to say, the Venables got gold faucets in their home. Come on down to my house sometime. Amen. You know what's so glorious about my house? I'm happy with it. I enjoy the Lord. Hallelujah. I just bought a $1,500 truck that it'll fly, I tell you. I love it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I got me a nice automobile out there. That's my work truck, but he gave me a bargain on it. I'm pleased with what he gave me. I'm happy with what he gave me. I've got godliness with contentment. I feel like I'm a very rich man tonight. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. Praise God. We got a nice family car. It's nice. It's a great car. It's got all the amenities in. I just look in the interior of that Cadillac and the interior of that little old Buick Regal, and I said, dear Lord, I can't tell a whole lot of difference. Praise God. If I had your Cadillac in on my Buick. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know that. I know it's got a, you know, I'm serious. The interior, I mean, it's great. It's nice. But what I got's great and nice too. He got leather. I got leather. He got power. I got power. His seat go up and down, back and forth and sideways. Mine does too. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm not envious of the Cadillac. Praise God. Our lights come on by themselves too. We don't even have to think about pulling no lights on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. I'm telling you tonight, the world needs to see, amen, a church that is kingdom oriented. Amen. That appreciates the love of God and the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. That with what we have in Him, learn how to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. If God wants you to have something else, I believe He'll bless you with it. You might end up with a 10-bedroom house with 13 bathrooms before it's over. I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you can't praise God right here and right now, amen, hallelujah, I don't believe you should wait until then to do it. Amen. You ought to come to church. It shouldn't affect how you praise Him. Shouldn't affect how you serve Him. Shouldn't affect how happy you are. Praise God. You got to go down to the third world sometime. Amen. There's something out there called a third world. There's people that don't live like we do, can never hope to live like we do. And there's certain messages that would not preach in those places because nobody's going to arrive in those places. There's a pastor down in South Africa. God let me see him on a bicycle in a vision. Amen. On his way to preach with a Bible under his arm and a white shirt that was kind of yellowed from washing it in the waters that are available. And it was wrinkled and it wasn't even pressed. But he had a smile on his face because God had provided for him a brand new bicycle. And he was riding it several miles to preach the gospel. And he was praising God for his ride. Going to preach with the joy of Jesus. And I thought, my God in heaven, bless that man. Hallelujah. Who doesn't have to make a fashion statement. Who doesn't have to make a statement of I have arrived somewhere in culture. A man who knows who he is in God's kingdom and knows that souls are more important than silver and gold. Can you say, man? Bless that man. Bless him with a mighty anointing. I don't mean a put-on anointing. I'm talking about a mighty Christ-centered anointing that exalts Jesus. What do you want out of life? What are you after? What's it going to take to make you happy? When will you arrive? Are you like the dog chasing his tail? Huh? I believe happiness is in my tail. If I can just catch my tail, I will be happy. So he spends his whole day and energy chasing his tail till he meets an older dog that did that for years and learned a lesson. And the older dog says, I too believe that happiness is in my tail. He said, what are you doing? He said, happiness is in my tail. I've tried everything else. If I could just catch my tail, I know I'd be happy. And the old dog says, listen. He said, I do believe happiness is in your tail. But he said, you'll never get it by chasing it. He says, just get on with your life and be grateful and thankful, and it'll follow you wherever you go. I see preachers get Mercedes. Not happy. Preaching the gospel, winning souls, working in the kingdom, but it's not enough. They want something else. Why? Why? Godliness with contentment's great gain. Having food and raiment, there would be C-O-N-T-E-N-T, content. What's it take? Well, why is there discontent? Why do I have to have something? Do I have to prove anything to her? I'm God's man with God's anointing, and I've got to impress this lady or that lady or this lady. I've got to impress that preacher over here, this person over here. Hey, there's a great king I bow to. It's not men and women I'm here to impress. Amen. I want to please one master. I don't have to get like the world. I'm not competing with Hollywood for who has the biggest house and who drives the most expensive car. Woo! I'm competing with hell for souls. I'm fighting devils to see people set free. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. My joy, my rush, my fun is seeing this gospel break a yoke. My wife said, we need to see some people converted. You got that right. I see it occasionally on my job, but I want to see it more and more and more. I want to see people coming to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And I found out if I'll take care of God's business, He'll give me a ride. He'll give me clothing. He'll give me enough money to pay my bills. I don't even have to worry about that. If the kingdom is first, you don't have to even think about it. Take ye no thought. Take you no thought. How can you take you no thought with 13 tapes on the subject?
Huh? Tell me that.
Take you no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Take thee no thought. For after all these things, the unregenerate world, which was classified as Gentile, seek. They spend their energy, their time, their whole process is toward that end. They're always discontent because they've not found the fountain of living water. They don't know what contentment and happiness is. There's not a house big enough, amen, to make them happy. There's not a man handsome enough. There's not a woman pretty enough. There's not enough gold and silver in Tiffany's. I got a supervisor over the milk plant called Roger Tiffany, and I said, let's all go over for pancake breakfast so we can say we had breakfast. at Tiffany's. What is it with us? We want to be like him, who though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, humbled himself and took on the form of a servant and made of himself no reputation. What is it with us that we have a problem with being like him? Why do we still want to impress them when we're supposed to be serving him? Can you say, man, we've got this desire to impress. You are judged in certain church circles by the car you drive, the clothes you wear, the watch that's on your wrist, the shoes that you have on. These are good shoes. These are so comfortable. Don't tell. Florsheim, those are nice shoes. They were a gift. They were a gift. Somebody got them for $2 at the Goodwill and give them to me. You can go pay the $60 at Sears if you want to. I consider it a great blessing. They were way too short for the person who bought them. They didn't know when they bought them. They were buying them for me. I like it when the Lord does things like that. Amen. They thought they were buying them for themselves. They're buying them for me. Brand new. Never been on the ground. Wasn't even scuffed on the bottom. Now I'm very happy with his provision. Who am I going to impress? Who am I going to impress? Who have I got to impress? Called and anointed of God. Hallelujah. To preach his glorious gospel. Praise the Lord. Preached it in prison. Preached it over the radio. Preached it at one of the toughest corners in Tampa for 25 years solid. Hallelujah. Had my life threatened. Had phone threats, death threats on my phone. Had God's deliverance come again and again and again. Who do I have to impress? Healed of cancer. If you own all the money in the world, you can't get a cure for leukemia to everybody. God healed me instantly. Who do I need to impress? What do I need to impress? You know what the church needs to do? We need to get back to the person of Jesus and the power of God again. We need to get back to kingdom values again. We need to appreciate the love of God and appropriate that love. Peter said, if they take me and put me upside down and crucify me, I will not deny his name. I have fallen deeply in love with him and that kingdom and not this old world and anything in it. Hallelujah. I don't need to impress it and I sure enough don't fear it anymore. Take this whole world. Wow, we used to sing that and we used to mean it. Push come to shove, you could have it, brother. But leave me kingdom peace and kingdom joy and I'll still be rich when it's over. Hallelujah. I used to sing Pity the Man. Talking about the man that holds all of the kingdoms, all the things of the world that money can buy and power can achieve. And yet holds not the pearl of great price. Pity that man. Don't pity the man that knows Christ and loves him in Africa on a bicycle going to preach his gospel. He's not the one you should pity. Pity the man in the penthouse that don't know Christ tonight. That's on his way to a devil's hell lost forever and hopeless. Pity the preacher that is discontent with all of the presence of God and the power of God and the privilege of serving God and feels a need to impress and to get more. Pity him because he's lost sight of the kingdom. How do you know? Because we're not to even think about the other stuff in light of the kingdom. Take you no thought for your life. For after all, if you be risen with Christ, that means genuinely saved, quickened, and from trespasses and sin, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. It's okay to enjoy everything God gives you, but you're not to love anything but him. Can you say, man? Because if you love anything equal to him or above him, Satan will use that thing or that person to pull you from him. Guaranteed. He's already got you hungry for his bait. We've hurt the cause of Christ by preaching the same values that this world has. Instead of a contradictory value system. If you got peace tonight, let me tell you something about peace. You can't buy it with all the money in the world, all the silver and gold. Let me tell you something about the wicked. They are like the waters, amen, that are troubled by the winds of a great storm. Waters that are troubled and cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. Amen. That's why you go through so many relationships in Hollywood. Look like these beautiful people that marries a beautiful person. Here's the ideal situation. Here's two people with millions of dollars that live in mansions with beautiful bodies. And here they are, and they're so popular. What else could they possibly want? And yet they break up in their quest to find fulfillment and happiness. Preachers need to let us know you can find all of that in Jesus. And they need to not just preach it from the pulpit. They need to live it in their life. Can you say amen? Maybe my Mercedes will be enough. Maybe the Mercedes will be a pretty good ride. Maybe I can just drive it for a while and be happy. Maybe. If I don't feel the need to impress and have to move up a little further. Maybe. If God wanted you to be like them, He wouldn't have called you out. But He did call you out. He called you to a different standard, a different system, a different kingdom, to bow to a different king than the God of this world. Can you say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, and all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life passes away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Can you say, man, hallelujah. That's what the kingdom is all about. Nothing has changed in the kingdom. A lot has changed in the church, but nothing has changed in the kingdom. In a postmodern culture, amen. God has loved you with the greatest love the universe has ever known. And if you've got food and raiment in Jesus, He wants you to be shouting happy. He wants you to consider yourself the rich and the regal, because in fact, you really, truly are. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. He will not make you a beggar. He will meet your needs. But your greatest need is to find happiness in Jesus Christ tonight. Can you say amen and the joy of the Lord? Wow. So that's why they stay away in droves, because there's somebody going to tell them something else. But I'm telling you, it is not coming from this book or this Christ or these followers of Christ. You can't make them into these kind of people, because they are not. They never were. They never will be. They lived it. My kingdom were of this world, I'd call my bodyguards. My homies would come, take care of business. Can you say, man? No, I'd call 10,000 angels if my kingdom were of this world. But it's not of this world. Doesn't operate like this world. Aren't you glad He didn't call the angels to deliver Him from the cross? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He didn't use His faith to come down off of that cross and avoid the suffering that would set us free? Aren't you glad He stayed on it, hallelujah, until He purchased our salvation till the last drop of blood was shed and He gave up His life? Aren't you glad that's the kind of Jesus we serve tonight? Aren't you glad for the missionaries that died on the mission field so that the next missionaries in would be accepted? Because they said, if a faith is worth dying for, maybe we ought to listen to it. If these people loved us in spite of the fact that we murdered some of their very relatives that went in their stead and loved those people, forgave them, and preached the gospel to them, aren't you glad they were not after a penthouse? Aren't you glad there's a gospel, amen, in the Philippines, because somebody sacrificed and somebody died to tell them about Jesus? Because that kingdom was worth more than this one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't ever diss those people. Don't ever put them down. They didn't have anything to prove to this world. We used to sing, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through." Can you say amen? Abraham, the richest man in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Woo! Hallelujah. Father Abraham. Wow, glory to God. Father Abraham lived it. Lived his whole life in tents when he could have built a palace. Why did he do that? Because he looked for a city. You didn't hear me. I said the Bible said he looked for a city that has foundations. The only difference is the architect is God himself, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. He said, nothing in this world can ever satisfy me till I get to where I'm headed. The New Testament told the earth dweller in his journey as a Christian to abstain from fleshly lust. I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust that what war against your soul. If you don't have find happiness in Jesus, I tell you, you'll never find it in this world. If you try to get your faith built up to get everything you think will make you happy, and you haven't found the secret of happiness in Christ where you are, you're here tonight instead of a hospital. You're not pushing a buggy with a canister of oxygen in it. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Do you hear me? I know you got bills, and I know you got ills, and I know you got hurts, and you got problems and pressures, and I know you got obstacles in your life. But my brother and my sister, you've got a great Savior, and you've got a great Deliverer, and you're better off than Bill Gates because he ain't got time for it. He said it himself. I don't have time in the sheer allocation of time. I don't have time for religion. Honey, one day he's going to have time to deal with heaven and hell issues. One day he's going to have time. One day there's going to be something happening in that man that the best physicians in this world cannot cure. And he's going to need to know the great physician. And I'm not just talking about for his body. I'm talking about where his soul spends eternity. He's not the rich man tonight. You're the rich man and you're the rich woman. Hallelujah. Woo! Dale got a pretty house. I went and saw her pretty house. It's a pretty house. Amen? It's a pretty house. She's got it fixed up so pretty. I love that glass table she can see through. It's nice. I like that big thingy she bought. And the other thingy to put on top of it. Amen. Got it at a discount. Wow, Dale's a Wheeler dealer. It's a pretty house. I love the tile in Sherry's house. I love the way she got Doug out there and put him down on his hands and knees and got him busy putting that tile in. Wow, they got a nice home. I love a trampoline out back. Whose house? Well, y'all's house. That's a nice trampoline. I love to watch people jump up and down on it. I tried it, honey. It'll give you out. It's a nice house. Amen. Amen. It's a pretty house. Me and Ashley was out there talking about the snakes out back. Some of them get up in trees, fall out of the tree on you. We were talking about snakes falling out of trees. And I looked at her and I said, Ashley, if a snake fell out of that tree right now, right down across you, she was serious, now we're serious. I said, you know what I would do? She looked at me and she says, no. I said, I'd run like crazy. Got her to smile real big. We were happy. Happy. We had a nice meal. We're jumping on the trampoline. We're laughing about snakes falling out of trees. Hey, that's happy. That's happy. You ever seen the kids in Disney World after the first 2 hours? You ever seen them? You paid all that money to get them in there. Bless God, we're going to see everything we can see. We're going on Mr. Toad's wild ride. If we have to stand here for 2 solid hours, we're going on that toad thing. We paid $100 to get in here, and we're going to do something. You ain't going home. I want to go home. I'm tired. You ain't going home. We're going to Toad's Wild Ride. You see them kids being dragged around? Kids don't like to stand in long lines in the heat and sweltering sun. They're looking like, oh, I want to go home. and the parents said, come on, we're going to have fun. It costs $100. You're getting your picture with Goofy. He'll be out here. We just got to wait. So have a good time at Disney World. Oh, we had a blast. We saw it all. I look at some of those kids. They ain't having fun. Not after a couple of hours. Come on, folks, you can't buy fun. We went to rent a car. A car broke down beside the road on the way to see my sister-in-law. I had her mama and her in the car, and I had a car that just quit. Every now and then it just quit. If anything just keeps running, it makes me happy. Oh, it makes me happy if something cranks up and runs. I've had so many cars that just up and quit. They never did find out what was wrong with it. I sold it, and I told them, it may up and quit. It runs great. You can take it to the garage, and it'll sit and run for... The mechanic took it home, drove it back and forth to work. When he gave it back to me, it up and quit. He never did figure it out. Amen? I don't know what happened to the car, but I know we went in to rent a car. We stopped by the road. We got a ride down to a rental place and went in to rent a car, and it's where people come out of the Orlando airport and rent cars and going to Disney World and all these places, and said there was a woman and a man. This is the rental agent lady. Said a woman and man had just come in there and their family, and evidently, you know, he never sees them until they take this big trip, and that's when they're going to bond. So they're all together, and he's wanting a particular kind of car. She's wanting a particular kind of car, and she went into a hissy fit and began to slap him around, slap all over him right there in the rental office. Amen. Because she said, you know what happens? She said, these people, it builds and it builds and it builds, and they're finally on vacation. And these people that don't even know how to get along together are thrust together. Can you say, man, now they got to somehow make it work together. And all the animosity they've had for months, now they're all cooped up in a car all day, in a plane all day. And here they are in this office. And he said, you'd be amazed how many families just go ballistic over any little thing. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, I'm so glad that Pamela hadn't threw a hissy on me and slapped me around. I'm glad she's happy. I'm thankful. What about the doctor? Can you imagine a doctor, 8-year-old boy, 4-year-old boy, and a mother on vacation, head of the radiation department of a cancer treatment center, on vacation at one of the most luxurious hotels in South Beach, Miami. Wife hears screams from the balcony. He's already threw one child to his death. The other child is screaming while the dad is throwing that child to his death. And then the father follows both the children into death. How do you deal with that? You say, well, that what went wrong in him? What's going wrong in a lot of people? The world has promised if you get this and if you get that and if you have this and that, you'll be happy. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of it. Why don't we point people to the only source of true happiness and fulfillment, to Christ? And why don't we as Christians live in the fulfillment that He offers? If you eat of my body and drink of my blood, what happens? You don't hunger anymore, and you don't thirst anymore. Inwardly, you're satisfied. The only thing you're hungry for and thirsty for is more of Him. You get hungry and thirsty for more of Him, it changes the way you look at everything. Christian service is not a job anymore. It's a joy. Something you enjoy. Take some of your time. Take some of your energy. What are you going to use your time and energy for anyway? What are you saving it up for? What are you going to do with it? Amen? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? If you don't do something with it for God, what are you going to do with it? Amen? I used to go to a men's gym years ago. And I thought, I got time and energy for this. Bless God, I got time and energy for the Lord's stuff too. Amen? If I got time to work on my body, I got time to feed my spirit. Bodily exercise profits a little, but spirit gives life. It quickens. Hallelujah. Amen? God is so good. I remember working out one day and thinking, wow, I make time for this. Should have plenty of time for prayer then. Hello? Should have time for devotion. Should have time to seek the Lord. Should have energy for it. Because I get energy for this. It's what's important. That's why David was just driven to serve God. That's why, out of love, the love of Christ constrained him. That's why Paul served the Lord with a whole heart, out of deep, devoted love for him. If you get your heart loving on God again, really loving him, you'll find time, you'll find energy, you'll find enthusiasm, you'll find joy. Amen? If that's your holy purpose, you will find what you need. Now, having said that, I want you to stand tonight. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. We're living in the last day, and the love of many will wax cold. And when that does, the message of the cross and the Christ on it will be a message that's overshadowed by the message of me, my personal fulfillment. Anything God can do to help me find my fulfillment, and it all involves becoming number one and having all the things that the world has, because then I can be happy. What a hypocritical attitude, God, for you will become salt and you will become light and indeed a city which is set on a hill which cannot be hid. And yea, I will cause your life to intersect and interact with other lives. And there will be no accidents or happenstance. I will direct your way, saith the Lord. And you will find yourself led by my Spirit like water follows a riverbed. You will not have to point yourself, just surrender. And let me take you where I want to take you. I believe it's happening. I believe lives are sensing, hallelujah, that you are in a flow of His Spirit. And it's going to take you where He wants you to be. So the changes we've been praying for, and almost like Abraham wanted to reach out and take into our own hands, amen, and make things happen, amen. That's not how it's coming. I'm telling you right now, amen. My faith is strong, but my faith is not, amen, just jumping out and doing something to make something happen. My faith is that there is a God that we are looking to, and that we are in a flow of His Spirit, and the current of His will take us where He wants us to be. But Sean, I believe tonight I'm right here where I'm supposed to be, doing what God called and anointed me to do tonight. And I believe that you're here for the same reason, and you folks are here for the same reason. And I believe you sense it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Rabakisa Nana Masataya. Halabakita Nana Moha. Hallelujah. How my soul does magnify the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tadabaka sitia nanana. Nenda dabakila. Lona dabasiti tadabagane. Netadabaka shataramonoro. Londa dabasile. Kishalamara. Landa dabasha. Oh, sheki. Endela. La shatata. Ikalonde. Nitanarma. Shandara. Lekarabasataya. Hallelujah. How we praise you, Lord. Thank you for people that appreciate your kingdom. Thank you for people that appreciate your love. Thank you for people that feel wealthy tonight. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord, because they have received the spiritual blessings. Bless them now, Lord, with all they need physically and materially. Hallelujah. Pour it out on us tonight, Lord, because all our delight and all our joy is in you. Hallelujah. In you and you alone. Now turn and take somebody by the hand and say, you look like a very rich person to me. Will you do that before you go home tonight?